Brother Ed Grabner's subject is blessings from the Psalms. Blessings from the Psalms. Brother Ed?
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, dear brethren, for getting our meeting started. And we were thinking about this subject, and I appreciate the thought of blessings from the Psalms. I had originally kind of looked at the title as Blessings of the Psalms, and I thought, this is huge. So we're going to pick some select blessings from the Psalms, and but appreciate very much this blessing and privilege of being here with you. The love of your brethren in San Antonio has been shared, and for Sister Gail and myself, it's been a wonderful privilege to be here. We've been in the San Antonio area now 2 years, and this is actually our first Muhammad Convention as guests. And I know all that goes into the planning of the brethren here, the distribution of the various responsibilities and the attention the brethren give to the convention and all. And it's quite different being a guest and what you're able to perceive and enjoy and the blessings. So not that our conventions were never a blessing, but it's like your mind is very, very occupied with all the details of going on, because it's really the privilege of the host ecclesia to try to make arrangements that so everybody else can just really enjoy this time together. And so thus far it's been an incredible blessing for myself, as well as in the preparation and the consideration of this topic and the general theme that we have here that has been focused on David. But you know, in first looking at this, when we consider the Psalms, you know, there's a lot of wonderful references that go back, you know, contemporary Brother Russell. There was these huge, enormous works, such as the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, of course, Fawcett's, and as well as Smith's Bible Dictionary, and a lot of commentaries and all. But, and it's also been a, you know, hotly debated book. Higher criticism has really taken its crack at it relative to its, you know, the authorship of some of these Psalms. But really, when you look back in Brother Russell's day, there were some wonderful, wonderful works relative to that. And as we would understand, it is the largest book of the Bible. It's as far as collection of writings, or, you know, no matter how you might parse it out, some might felt that one psalm should have been broken up into two. Somebody else felt two psalms should have been combined into one, but it all shakes out to about 150 psalms. And all are pretty much in agreement with that. Numerous writers over a long period of time, in fact, one is generally agreed to be attributed to Moses, that will be incorporated into our considerations, and all the way up until after the exile from Babylon, and the coordinating and organizing of them by various Jewish scholars over in the Lord's providences. But we find primarily written in David's time forward, and David is considered to have written the most of any of the known authors. And the numbers as to how many he wrote varies with various opinion and all. But perhaps at least a third, if not more, of the Psalms. Then in the organization of the Psalms, they were grouped into five books with smaller groupings within these groups, based on authorship, style, or object. But we find that they contain personal experiences, in David's case, as well as others. There are psalms that are prayers. There are psalms that are poetry or poems. Psalms that are intended as songs or hymns. And contained within the psalms are also inspired writings, prophecy. So the Holy Spirit moving upon one to write in a prophetic sense. But by and large, most of it is not necessarily prophetic. And for that reason, in the Jews, as they organized their canon, and they came up with the three general books, if you will, the Torah, the five books of Moses, and then you had the strictly prophetic writings, so the prophets, and then there was the others that were considered the writings, and the Psalms is considered in with them as the writings. But when we consider the volume that they do take up relative to the Old Testament, it is, again, rather large, and when we consider its value to the new creation, There is quoted quite extensively in the New Testament. The Psalms are quoted quite extensively. By just some general consideration, anywhere from 250 to 300 quote direct quotations of the Psalms by both our Lord and the other writers of the New Testament, but possibly over thousands of times when you take into consideration indirect references or even just allusions, some terminology that could allude to one of the Psalms, when you take those into consideration. So it was very, very much very prominent in our Lord's mind as we find his quotations of the Psalms, as well as the apostles and others who might have even written in some of the historical writings there in the New Testament. So that validates it as part of the canon. That really does come down to us as authentic. God intended that this be for the new creation, and has already been considered. We have so much to see in David's life from a typical standpoint, lessons that can be learned from that, and the application to the new creation, both as, you know, for our Lord personally, and as was brought out today, for the Christ head and body. So we see things in their forms. So taking and looking into the Psalms in any from a technical standpoint would just be a wonderful blessing in and of itself. And that would fill hours of discoursing, I'm sure. So we've had to narrow our focus. And, you know, since this is really a devotional meeting, And the Psalms have been considered basically the Jewish hymnal, and cherished even more so by the Christians of the early church and thereafter. And in some writing about this, the Jews perhaps have allowed that to kind of fall to the wayside, and it's been cherished even more by Christians. And as we get into the time of the printing of the Bible and making it available to in general, you've all probably seen just a book of the New Testament, just a little book you might want to carry around with you of just the New Testament and the Psalms. It's usually grouped together. So if they pull any of the books out of the Old Testament to include with that, it will be the Psalms. And so it's very highly esteemed and appreciated by our brethren in the early church. Our Lord and the disciples likely sang hymns from the Psalms, and we know that as it comes up in our Passover study and consideration. Now, as we proceed in the church's history and we enter the Dark Ages, and we know some of the effect that this had on the singing and some of the instruments that were used, whatnot, as we reach the Reformation and a return, really a return to joyous congregational singing, including instruments, there were writers of that time and since that were moved to rewrite the entire book of Psalms as metrical poetry so that the poems could be sung to any tune of the same meter. So this became the earliest hymn books in the Reformation. So back in the 1500s, the 1600s, 1700s, there were ones who would combine labor that would go through the Psalms, and instead of just, they formatted it as poetry, metered, and so now if you knew the tune of that meter, you could now sing that song. So those were some of the earliest hymn books for Christians coming out through this Reformation period. Wonderful works. You'll just search this if you want to search this on the internet. Just search Psalms in meter, M-E-T-R-E. And you'll find Sternhold and Hopkins. You'll find that there were Scottish psalteries of 1564, 1635. There's a major work by Brady and Tate that was in the, like say, 1500s, 1600s. A gentleman by the name of Isaac Watts went through and did the entire Psalms himself. Beautiful, beautiful works. And so we're going to draw from some of those here today. But when we turn to the scriptures and consider the nature of our meeting tonight, we can go to Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, where we're admonished to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have another similar scripture by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you rich, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So our meeting tonight, and narrowing our focus, is going to include prayer. It's going to include praise in various forms and testimony, all related to the theme of blessings from the Psalms. Now, the first consideration, we'll take these kind of in that order. We have a wonderful psalm that really does emphasize this privilege of prayer to the one true God. This is truly a blessing. And there are a number of psalms that are labeled as prayers, as well as within the verses you'll find the thought of prayer is brought out. So one of those is Psalms 90. And this is the one psalm that is attributed to Moses as the author. And it's actually part of the introduction is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so we're going to draw from Isaac Watts' Psalter of 1719. This was actually incorporated into a Lutheran hymnal back at that time. And he entitled this, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. We're asked Sister Sally to read that for us, that poem, and it's just really the first nine verses of Psalms 9. So Sister Sally, Heidebach-Oliva.
Our God, our help in ages past. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. Thy word commands our flesh to dust. Return, ye sons of men. All nations rose from earth at first and turned to earth again. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. The busy tribes of flesh and blood with all their lives and cares are carried downwards by the flood and lost in following years. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. Like flowery fields the nations stand, pleased with the morning light. The flowers beneath the mower's hand lie withering ere 'tis night. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while troubles last in our eternal home.
Considering the present state of mankind, as brought out in that psalm and as brought out by the poet in rewriting that, you know, how frail, how fleeting is this life? And what a privilege that we can still approach the throne of grace. And still pray to God, and that hope we have is our eternal home. So we've asked Brother Ed, Brother Ed Bushless, to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. You'll be up front here, Brother Jim. Just offering that prayer of thanksgiving for this great privilege that we enjoy and the blessing that it is to us.
Our gracious and kind and loving Father in heaven, in whom we live and move and have our very being, we thank thee and praise thee for this relationship we have to be able to come to thee as our Heavenly Father and we, thy dear children. We're thankful for the knowledge that thy care and love is with us in every hour of each day, that when we need thee in time where help is desired, we can even approach thee in an instant, and thou art there. We thank thee that we also can come to thee and tarry long with our petitions, seeking thy comfort and thy strength in times of grief. We're thankful for seeking thy strength and thy overruling providences for each day to guide each experience and decision as we walk before thee in this narrow way, that all things would redound to our highest spiritual welfare and also to thy name's honor and glory. We're thankful for the privilege of remembering our brethren before the throne of grace, that the effectual fervent prayers of those that are righteously inclined would have thy response in blessing the needs of each that are undergoing the various vicissitudes of life. And we're thankful also for the privilege of asking for thy grace to increase our faith and to grant us more of the spirit of a sound mind, that we may finish our sacrifice with joy and hear thy well done. And lastly, above all, we are thankful for the covering merit of Jesus, by which we are made acceptable in the Beloved and are granted this great privilege. And so we give thee thanks now as we ask these favors through his name. Amen.
We move on to consideration of praise in this part of our meeting. And we're going to have another reading, but this is going to be a reading of Psalm 24 from the Brady and Tate Psalter. It was first published in England in 1696. And we've asked Sister Kathy Robinson to read that. So, Psalm 24 as a poem from the 1600s.
This spacious earth is all the Lord's her fullness is, the world and they that dwell therein by sovereign right are his. He framed and fixed it on the seas, and his almighty hand upon inconstant floods has made the stable fabric stand. But for himself this Lord of all one chosen seat designed. Oh, who shall to that sacred hill desired admittance find? The man whose hands and heart are pure, whose thoughts from pride are free, who honest poverty prefers to gainful perjury. This is he on whom the Lord shall shower his blessings down, who God, his Savior, shall vouchsafe with righteousness to crown. Such is the race of saints by whom the sacred courts are trod, and such the proselytes that seek the face of Jacob's God. Erect your heads, eternal gates, unfold to entertain the King of glory. See, he comes with his celestial train. Who is this King of glory? Who? The Lord for strength renowned, in battle mighty o'er his foes eternal victor crowned. Erect your heads, ye gates, unfold in state to entertain the King of glory. See, he comes with all his shining train. Who is this King of glory? Who? The Lord of hosts renowned, of glory he alone is King, who is with glory crowned.
Thank you, Sister Kathy. And this made us think of hymn number 11. So we're going to have a congregational singing also as part of our praise here. That really all should worship and praise the God of the Bible. So enter then his gates with praise is one of the features of this hymn. Hymn number 11.
Praise more down.
emphasized, you know, the earth is the Lord's, but heaven is also. And there are psalms that reflect the beauty of the heavens and what that should mean to us. So we've asked a few of our brethren here of the Home Ecclesia to share a testimony, and in particular, a psalm that was a blessing to them relative to that experience. So our first in this case is going to be Sister Sandy Martin, and she's going to share her experience and how Psalms 19, verses 1 and 2 in particular, have been a blessing.
Appreciated Psalms 19, 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. This scripture reminds me of my mom, Sister Lucille. On one of her visits to our home, probably 10 or 15 years ago, I remember one evening taking her by the hand, and we walked outside, and we looked up at the night sky together, and I live out in the country, and you can really see the stars out there. And especially remembering that particular evening, it was one of those spectacular nights when the stars were really shining brightly, and we were just both marveling as we looked at the heavens. And troubles look small when you're looking at such glorious immensity, and know we are both praising the Lord for his greatness and for his wonderful works. And also the scripture reminds me of a story Sister Lucille often told me, how when she was a young girl playing outside and it was getting late, she said she would look up at the starry sky and think about God and how he has no beginning and no end, and just musing and pondering about this. And then another story she told me was how she had this little bed with side railings, and the bed had roller wheels. And she had a dream one night that her bed was rolling across the floor, and then it took off flying, and she found herself flying high up into the sky and all around in her little bed, and that she was looking for God. And anyway, I've always appreciated these little stories, and one time I wanted to find a special card for her and write a cheer note for her, and found the perfect card at Hallmark of a little girl looking up at the starry sky, and I sent it to her back in 99. She had saved this card, and now I still have it. We're just very thankful for the wonderful mother we had, and think of how the Lord blessed her with the truth she was searching for, and how she passed this blessing of truth on to her children. And I'm thankful for all the experiences that we've had in our life. Lord has been so good to us and has helped us in so many ways. And I'm so thankful that the Lord let me find a very special person, our husband Joe, and for the time that we had with him for 25 years. And the Lord is so gracious. And I just appreciate all the blessings waiting for him, for all of mankind.
I'm sure you shared those stories with him. Those will be a wonderful remembrancer who comes forth from the grave. And you think about the blessing of a psalm. That psalm alone, just in one family, the effect it has had from one consecrated sister sharing that with her children, bringing three of them to consecration. That was the blessing of the psalm. Now we consider, turn back to the thought of prayer. And Psalm 86 is entitled A Prayer of David. A Prayer of David. And we've asked Sister Gail to do our reading for us in this case. And she's going to read from one of the Psalters on Psalm 86. This is Sternhold and Hopkins Psalter. It was first published in 1562. And she'll just read from the first 10 verses of Psalm 86 in this poetic form.
Lord, bow thine ear to my request, and hear me speedily. For with great pain and grief oppressed, full poor and weak am I. Preserve my soul, because my ways and doings holy thee, and save thy servant, O my God, that puts his trust in thee. Thy mercy upon me express, and me defend alway, for through the day I do not cease to thee, O Lord, to pray. Comfort thy servant's soul, I pray, that now with pain it's pined, for unto thee I do alway lift up my soul and mind. For thou art good and bountiful, thy gifts of grace are free, also thy mercy plentiful to all that call on thee. O Lord, likewise when I do pray, regard and give an ear, mark well the words that I do say, all my petitions hear. In time when trouble doth me move, to thee I do complain. For why? I know and well do prove thou answerest me again. Among the gods, O Lord, is none with thee to be compared, and none can do as thou hast done. The like has not been heard. The Gentiles and the people all, whom thou didst make and frame, before thy face on knees shall fall and glorify thy name. For why? Thou art so much of might, all power is thine own. Thou workest wonders still in sight, for thou art God alone.
We appreciated David's character and his hope beyond the present life, and that hope extended to all nations. He believed God's promise to Abraham, as reflected in his prayer. And so we've asked Brother Rick Cunningham if he would offer a prayer of thanksgiving for that fact, this knowledge that we have that one day, eventually, all will bow before God and glorify his name.
Glorious Heavenly Father, we truly hallow thy holy name, and we so thank thee for the privilege of coming into thy holy presence. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou has given us a means by which we can approach thee through the gift of thy Son, dear Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, in the revealing of thyself and thy plans and purposes contained in both thy word and in thy creation, and what thou hast revealed unto us in our hearts and minds as we've come to understand thee all the better, we rejoice so much that you have included all of your creation to receive a clear understanding of all that thou hast done and all that thou shalt do. And that in each one with intelligence will be able to choose to worship thee, to serve thee, and to obey thee, and to learn that to do so leads to the greatest happiness in all of life, and they might have that life for eternity. How blessed we are as thy people to know these things before the rest. Help us, Lord, to use this to glorify thee and to bring honor to thy Son. And Holy Lord, we look forward to the day when the heavenly and earthly creation will sing in a united voice to praise thee together. Billions of voices praising thee and the way in which you led us. Oh Lord, hasten the day. Help us to recognize what privileges we have now to so serve thee in this cause. For we praise thee and love thee and ask it all in Jesus' name.
Blessings from the Psalms. When you think of mankind, David will be there, reflecting on those things that were in his heart then and stimulating others to walk up that highway of holiness. Will be his privilege then. The Psalms have moved modern hymnals as well as writers such as Fanny Crosby, who wrote so many beautiful hymns. Seem fitting as part of our praise associated with this, and perhaps this will be a hymn they will sing in the asking likewise. Hymn 360, to God be the glory. One account suggests that this was inspired by Psalms 86, verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Hymn number 360. Hymn 367 in the red. My fault, sorry.
Continue, please. Appreciated the point. This brings us to yet another testimony. Now, truly great things have been done on behalf of all that have entered into a covenant relationship with God through the merit of His Son. And so we've asked Sister Judy McClugan to share an experience and likewise some psalms that related, that were a blessing to her in the experience. And she's going to share, associated with her experience, Psalm 37:23 and Psalm 116, 12 to 14, and she'll probably repeat that. But Sister Judy, please.
Sure. Thank you, Brother Ed. Well, the experiences we've been having for about a year and a half brought to mind Psalm 37. 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And, of course, Psalms 116 that we consider, at least in our class weekly, at our Sunday meeting through the Resolve, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. For help, I will pay my vows unto the Most High. That's how we say that in the Resolve. But anyway, about a year and a half ago, we were considering some things that were going on with our dear parents, Brother Len, Sister Ruth, getting up there in years and noticing that they were going to be needing some help and that quite possibly it was going to be a change, somewhat of a change in our experience. We'd been working for a company for 26 years. As I always said to Brother Danny, it was 26 years of total stress. And but because we were seeing the changes going on with my parents, we started taking the matter to the Lord in prayer. We started having some strife in the company, and the association I was assigned to work for got their feathers ruffled, and they decided that they were going to move themselves and take their business elsewhere. So it became very apparent that there were going to be some layoffs at the company, and I didn't realize that this was really the Lord answering her prayer. So the HR director had called me into her office, and just as a side note, we were friends. She claimed being a Christian woman, and we would take lunch together occasionally, and we would discuss the scriptures. Of course, it seemed as though when I would try and share things with her, I was speaking in a foreign language, and when she would explain certain scriptures to me, we just didn't come to a mutual understanding, but we did have respect for one another. I had walked into her office, and she and the company director were sitting at a round table, and I saw some papers on the table, and what I realized is they had called me in to tell me that they would have to lay me off. My friend and HR director, Ruth Ann, started to break down and cry and told me that this was very difficult for her. And so I reassured her that she just didn't need to feel bad about anything, that I had taken it to the Lord in prayer, and this is the way he had answered my prayer. So the two women were quite astounded that I had that reaction, and thanked them, and basically told them I had appreciated the 26 years we had with the company, and that the Lord had something else in mind for me. So he certainly did. Once a year, we were always sent out to work at a national meeting. They had purchased an airline ticket for me that they couldn't refund and they couldn't transfer. So when they laid me off, they gave me that airline ticket. And in the Lord's providence, we had Brother Ed stay with us for a few days when he was in town on some business. And he had gently suggested that maybe we would take that ticket and transfer it to a flight down to Austin. So what was interesting is that if I had never been laid off, Brother Dan and I were not travelers. We probably would have never made that trip. But because we were laid off and we had this ticket, we just simply transferred it and bought an additional one for Brother Danny, and took a trip that we will long remember. A wonderful blessing to see why the Lord took two of our very dear brethren and moved them away. But we got to see just how much the brethren out there appreciate Brother Ed and Sister Gail. And we are very thankful to witness that and get to know the brethren there. And they've become very dear to us. In the Lord's providence, the very woman who had to lay me off had to stop by my house to pick up some baby items that my neighbor's daughter was going to share with Ruth Ann and her son and daughter who just had a newborn baby. She came to my house, and of course she told me she missed me and missed seeing me every day, and we shared, you know, pleasantries and so forth, and then she just sort of spilled out an experience that she had promised she would never, that she would never reveal. And I felt that I had an awesome responsibility, not only to listen to what she had to say to me with very tender ears, but hopefully to try and be a blessing to her. Her family had gone through a very, very difficult experience, but because of her beliefs, she doesn't have faith in a loving, merciful Heavenly Father that we do. And she just said to me, Judy, she said, you know, you've been laid off, you've had different changes in your life, but you just seem to have joy. And I want joy too. But with this very difficult experience, I don't know how to have joy. And so we simply just said to Ruth Ann that the secret, really, to true joy is to have a vital, personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. And I said that that's what we were endeavoring to do. And she thanked me. And in the Lord's providence, also, since we've been unemployed from that company, we've been doing some part-time work, and the Lord sort of opened up a new opportunity for us with a little strange hours. I work from 2:30 in the morning to 7:30 in the morning, a five-hour shift. So it's been a change for Brother Danny and me, and I have to go to bed a little earlier than him. But to be able to kind of get myself accustomed to falling asleep, the best way to kind of calm myself down is to just do a talk. And so I plug my ear plugs in, and I go to bed, and you know, we receive such peace and joy and blessing, and it's really helped us kind of get into this pattern to work this new assignment. But we've really been blessed spiritually by that. And it was interesting because one of the talks we listened to had brought out the scripture in Jeremiah about, you know, what should a man glory in? If he glories in this, it would be that he knows and understands me. And then Brother Gene Burns, and he brought out Exodus 34 about the Lord God merciful. And the first thing I thought about was how I want to share that with my dear friend Ruth Ann. Mm-hmm. So in the talk he had said, the Lord God merciful must be repeated 60 times or more in the scriptures. And the other scripture I thought of wanting to share with her was, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that maybe somehow this can warm her heart and help her as she goes through her very difficult experience with her family. Brother Ed, when we think of the truth and the experiences that the world goes through, we don't know how they can possibly get through their experiences without the truth. So we thank our Heavenly Father. We're born and raised in the truth, and we came to a point in our personal experience to make the truth our own and give our heart to the Lord and accept His will in place of our own. And we love our brethren who are an extreme example to us, and we ask Thy blessing upon each one of you.
Thank you, Sister Judy. And as you share perhaps scriptures
There will be some blessings from the Psalms that will emphasize mercy. You'll find that thought is emphasized a lot in the Psalms, that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. There are Psalms that just repeat that over and over. Now, as we transition to another kind of sequence here, a prayer of praise and testimony, we didn't have Sister Judy's experience specifically in mind when we chose this psalm. Another psalm that emphasizes prayer, Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. So that's how it's introduced, that prayer. But a reading from one of the Psalters, Radiant Tate Psalter, of Psalms 102, verses 1 to 13. We'll have Sister Elaine read that, please. Sister Elaine.
When I pour out my soul in prayer, do thou, O Lord, attend. To thy eternal throne of grace, let my sad cry ascend. O hide not thou thy glorious face in times of deep distress. Incline thine ear, and when I call, my sorrows soon redress. Each cloudy portion of my life, like scattered smoke, expires. My shriveled bones are like a hearth, parched with continual fires. My heart, like brass that feels the blast of some infectious wind, does languish so with grief that scarce my needful food I mind. By reason of my sad estate, I spend my breath in groans. My flesh is worn away, my skin scarce hides my starting bones. I'm like a pelican become that does in deserts mourn, or like an owl that sits all day on barren trees forlorn. In watchings or in restless dreams, the night by me is spent, as by those solitary birds that lonesome roofs frequent. All day by railing foes I'm made the subject of their scorn, who all, possessed with furious rage, have my destruction sworn. When groveling on the ground I lay, oppressed with grief and fears, my bread is strewed with ashes o'er, my drink is mixed with tears. Because on me with double weight thy heavy wrath doth lie, for thou, to make my fall more great, didst lift me up on high. My days just hastening to their end are like an evening shade. My beauty does, like withered grass, with waning luster fade. But thy eternal state, O Lord, no length of time shall waste. The memory of thy wondrous works from age to age shall last. Thou shalt arise in Zion view with an unclouded face, for now her time is come, thine own appointed day of grace.
Thank you, Sister Elaine. We'll just suggest, as related to this psalm, a hymn that would go very well with it, but we will not take the time to sing it. Hymn number 239, Watch and Pray, Watch and Pray. But we will ask Brother Steve at this time to offer another prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving, that the Lord does hear the prayers of the afflicted.
Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We do thank you so much again for thy many blessings. We thank you that you, for your promises concerning your answer to prayer of the righteous man. We thank you for your assurance that you answer the prayers of our prayers when afflicted. And we desire so much to grow closer to thee in these kinds of experiences, and to realize thy overruling providences more thoroughly in our lives, and to look to thee realizing these are some of the best shaping experiences that we can have, and to learn the lessons that you have for us in them. We ask thy leadings to that end, and thank you so much in again for them, and for thy comfort in these, and we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Considering praise for this particular part of our meeting, Though like the psalmist, we can be overwhelmed at times also. But like all the authors of the Psalms, our lips primarily abound with praise to God and to our Lord. We consider the theme of praise in the Psalms. Praise can be found in 128 of the Psalms. That is the main feature or focus, if you will. And the closing Psalm, 150, punctuates this point. Psalm 150, 1-6. Praise ye the Lord as Jehovah. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We'll also suggest for your consideration a wonderful devotional meeting that was prepared by Brother Robert Bennett for the 2012 San Antonio Convention entitled Psalms of Praise. There's a nice recording online along with the PowerPoint presentation. Just a wonderful, wonderful study in praise. So if you will find that online, just inquire and we can get that to you. Psalms 40, 1-3. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalms 95, 1-3. Psalm 95, 1-3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And likewise, for sake of time, we will skip over the singing of hymn 222, but one very dear to us, To the Rock, based on these psalms. Based on these psalms. But we would like Sister Joanne one last reading from a Psalter, from Brady and Tate Psalter, of Psalm number 100. Sister Joanne will read that. It is a short psalm.
With one consent, let all the earth to God their cheerful voices raise. Glad homage pay with awful mirth, and sing before him songs of praise. Convinced that he is God alone, from whom both we and all proceed. We, whom he chooses for his own, the flock that he vouchsafes to feed. O, enter then his temple gate, thence to his courts devoutly press, and still your grateful hymns repeat, and still his name with praises bless. For he's the Lord, supremely good, his mercy is forever sure, his truth, which always firmly stood, to endless ages shall endure.
Thank you, Sister Joanne. We have a couple extra minutes. And hymn 55 goes well with this, praise the Lord, but we're going to leave that for your own consideration, but we, kind of considering our sequence here, we have one last testimony. And we would relate Psalms 34:19 to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So, though overwhelmed at times, the new creature, though, can praise the Lord. And we have Sister Karen Baker, who would like to relate an experience and how Psalm 91, verses 9-11, are a blessing to her.
Well, when Brother Ed mentioned an experience and a psalm, I had to stop and think a little bit, because I have many favorite psalms, but but don't necessarily have a vivid experience to connect with them. You know, I love Psalms 23 or Psalms 24, Psalms 15, Psalms 121, 125. I mean, they're all beautiful. But an experience with a psalm that has been a blessing and a help to me, and it's something that was really a help right from the very first steps in the narrow way, and has been a big part of my life like a background of experience. And this has to do with challenges that come along in the narrow way. And I know most everyone has these kinds of experiences, but it's challenges to the position of Brother Russell and the appreciation of present truth. And those are many of background experiences that we have, and we appreciate this psalm because it does show the Lord's faithfulness in taking care of us spiritually, and how indispensable the place of Brother Russell is in order to make our calling election sure. And so Psalms 91, 9 through 11, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And every year when I read the manna for November 17th, this scripture, verse 11, is quoted. And the first sentence of the comment is that God will raise up faithful pastors and teachers who will watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And I found that to be very true, that with the meet and do season that we have been given, it really has kept my foot. And the first time I read through the volumes, I underlined everything important. Well, page after page after page was underlined, and now I don't quite underline as much, but it's just all so beautiful and so wonderful, this vision that we've been given, and I think in my life this scripture has very much been fulfilled.
Thank you. And thank you, dear brethren, too, for your patience with us. There's some variables in our meeting, in the nature of this meeting, and timing-wise, and so the hymns, I'm sure, will be a blessing to you, but those experiences, and we appreciate the brethren allowing us the extra time, are so very valuable. Relating the scriptures to our experiences, how these psalms are really truly a blessing to us personally at this time. Now we're coming to close of our day, and you'll have your meal, and you'll have your fellowship, but we will leave you just with this psalm. We thought it was providential, since it was the Songs in the Night for Thursday, Wednesday night, which we read after our testimony meeting. Psalms 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. May that be your blessing this evening and all evenings, brethren. And we'll turn it back over to our chair.
Okay, thank you, Brother Ed. For sake of time, why don't we just do the first and last verse of hymn 65. It's the same in the red and the blue. And then we'll ask Brother Ed to close his prayer, asking Lord's blessing on the food and fellowship to follow. Dinner begins 5 minutes ago out the back door. And actually, we'll have just a quick couple announcements.
Thank you.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do hallow thy name, and we're ever so grateful for the word that you have provided for us and how it was prepared for our edification. These psalms that can be such a blessing to us, and we have but touched the tip of the iceberg. And desire, Father, that you would continue with us as we meditate upon these blessings, as well as we strive to conform our lives in harmony with that which we see not only in the lives of the prophets and that which is brought out for us in these various writings, but in especially in that of our dear Lord, who exemplified the things written in advance. And we are ever so desirous, Father, of thy continued blessing upon us and our fellowship, but also upon the temporal provision provided for these earthen vessels, that is, they be strengthened and we can use them in thy service and thus bring honor and glory to thee. This and we pray in Jesus' name.